Shall we unite our hearts together in prayer and receive the blessing of the Lord? Our help, Lord God, is in thy name. It is in thee who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together in the opening Psalter 221, thereof all three verses. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows in 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let us turn to Daniel chapter 9 and read thereof verses 1 through 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. And now therefore, O Lord, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So far, the reading of this prayer of Daniel. Now, before we pray together, I'd like to read to you a proclamation of the United States of America, the president of our current president, which he sent out as an immediate release to the nation on May 4, 2017. And our president addresses us, obviously for last week Thursday, we come together on our national day of prayer as one nation, under God, to show gratitude for our many blessings, to give thanks for His providence, and to ask for His continued wisdom, strength, and protection as we chart a course for the future. We are united in prayer, each according to their own faith and tradition, and we believe that in America, people of all faiths, creeds, and religions must be free to exercise their natural right to worship according to their consciences. We are also reminded and reaffirmed that all human beings have the right not only to pray and to worship according to their consciences, but to practice their faith in their homes, schools, charities, and businesses, in private and in the public square, free from government coercion, discrimination, or persecution. Religion is not merely an intellectual exercise, but also a practical one that demands action in the world. Even the many prisoners around the world who are persecuted for their faith can pray privately in their cells. But our Constitution demands more, the freedom to practice one's faith publicly. The religious liberty guaranteed by the Constitution is not a favor from the government, but a right bestowed by God. Our Constitution and our laws that protect religious freedom merely recognize the right that all people have by virtue of their humanity. As Thomas Jefferson wisely questioned, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? In 1789, President George Washington proclaimed a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, calling upon Americans to unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of our nations. In 1988, the Congress, by Public Law 10307, called on the President to issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer. On this National Day of Prayer, the right to pray freely and to live according to one's faith is under threat around the world from coercive governments and terrorist organizations. We therefore pray especially for the many people around the world who are persecuted for their beliefs and deprived of their fundamental liberty to live according to their conscience. We pray for the triumph of freedom over oppression and for God's love and mercy over evil. Now therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim May 4, 2017, as a National Day of Prayer. I invite the citizens of our nation to pray in accordance with their own faith and conscience, in thanksgiving for the freedoms and blessings we have received, and for God's guidance and continued protection as we meet the challenges before us. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this fourth day of May, in the year of our Lord 2017, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 241st. And that is signed by Donald J. Trump. Well, with these words, let us now also seek the Lord together for a blessing on our evening. O gracious God, we have still so much to be humbled about and to be thankful for. There is hardly a nation in the world that would have had a president proclaim such a day of prayer and thanksgiving as we have just read of this directive of our current president. And Lord, there too we have much yet that we are jealously to guard and humbly to beseech thee of, that thou wilt not take away this so precious remnant of the rich history that also this nation once so much more displayed than it does today. And O God of heaven and of earth, thou art the great and the majestic judge of heaven and earth, purer of eyes than to behold iniquity. And iniquity abounds also in this our nation, in government levels, among citizens. Thou knowest, O God, how much evil we do. And therefore the record of the Scriptures, that thou art infinitely good, and slow to wrath, long-suffering, in mercy and grace, is so evident, Lord, in the days in which we live, in the country also of which we are part of. O, none is as thou art, and none can be compared to thee. For what sovereign is so despised, so challenged, so rejected, so rebelled against, and yet sends us loads of blessings and blessings and blessings. And therefore, Lord, will thou open also our eyes tonight and grant us with each other here and those listening at home something of what Paul did exclaim: it is of thee and for thee and through thee and to thee that all things are, that are in this life and in the life to come. O God, from thy heavenly glory thou hast said that thou beholdest all the sons of men. And therefore also we may rest assured that thou art seeing us here, gathered in this moment of prayer. Thy eye is upon us. Thy ear is hearing us. And as we place, Lord, our pleas before thee, wilt thou then look upon thy dear Son, the Mediator, and wilt thou receive our petitions through him and for his sake. Teach thou us to pray in our prayers. Teach thou us to wrestle in our petitions. Lord, teach thou us to weep as we confess sin, and not only our sin, but the sins that also are defiling this nation from the highest ranking to the lowest ranking citizen. And allow not this hour to be just a formal gathering in obedience to the call of our president, and make it a spiritual gathering in obedience to thee. For hast thou not commanded us, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt praise and glorify me. So, Lord, we lift up our hearts to thee. By nature we are not prayerful, and if we are praying, it is so often selfish. We want thee to serve us and to care for all our needs and to provide in all our needs. But Lord, teach us to pray with an eye on thy glory first. Thy name be hallowed, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let us experience tonight, as we meditate briefly on this scripture, that the scriptures and the readings and meditations may become the parents of prayer in each of our hearts, uniting us as young and old to cry unto thee with the words of the text, Lord, that we hope to consider briefly. Break then through all the hardness, stir our sluggishness, And quicken, Lord, what is dead, and what is chilled, and what is backslidden. O God, let fire come down from heaven, and may it sanctify the prayers that we also bring before Thee this evening hour, for the nation, for our leaders, and for our fellow citizens, for all what this nation also faces, Lord. We confess that often we do not know what to pray for, but therefore send forth Thy Spirit to teach us to groan and to travail with those groanings, Lord, that only Thy Spirit can imbibe in our hearts. Oh, come then. We admit that we can be so stirred to action when it is about our cause and our name and our pleasures. And Lord, so backwards are we when it is about Thy name and about Thy kingdom and about Thy laws and about Thy house. Therefore we beg Thee, with Thy Holy Spirit, stir our spirits, that all Thy people in this nation also may arise to do the work Thou callest Thy church to, as soldiers wrestling and fighting the kingdom battle. And Lord, may we fight that good fight that the apostles stirred Timotheus to, and will Thou stir us, wrestling spiritually against the powers of darkness in all the places where it is evident and where it has taken hold of those that rule and those that are ruled. Lord, therefore we pray that Thou would enlist thousands more behind the chariots of Jesus Christ, that Thy church may know the revival we sing about. O Shepherd of Israel, come Thou and turn us once more, and let Thy people and all those that are called by Thy name in this nation come to genuine repentance and returning unto Thee. So command deliverances, O God of Jacob, in this day and age we live, that men and women, boys and girls, dead in trespasses and sins, may live to Thee. And so bless us now as we consider this scripture of David's Psalms. And Lord, may it lead us to pray like him and like Daniel as we read his so moving portion of prayer in this chapter we read. Hear us, Lord, be with all those that could not share this hour with us this evening, but may be with us in spirit and heart. O will Thou bless, we ask, all so undeserving. In mercy we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 232. O Lord, to us Thy mercy show, and Thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to His people He will speak, and to His saints, but let him seek no more in folly's paths to stray. 232, let's sing 1, 2, and 3. And in the meantime, there is yet offerings will be received for the general fund tonight. steps to tread. May I ask you to turn to Psalm 119. And thereof, let's read verse 126, a prayer that was brought to my attention lately and I thought was a beautiful and fitting prayer for us tonight. So Psalm 119, verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. There's hardly ever an struggle to find a fitting prayer for a day like this. A day when we gather as a congregation here in prayer. In obedience also to the call of our president. I was really touched when I got this notice from the website of our president. That's a tremendous privilege, congregation. With all what's wrong with this nation, there is not a single nation I know of whose president writes a public proclamation for a national day of prayer. I can't think of any. And that is a privilege we must not underestimate. But that still doesn't take away that we have a time before us where needs are great. So let's look at verse 126 briefly this evening, in which we find a very timely petition. For our country, and for our church, and for us individually. And there's three things I'd like to suggest out of this petition. It captures our need. It's time for thee to work, O God, for they have made void thy law. That's our need. And secondly, it directs us to our remedy. It's time for thee to work. And then thirdly, I'd like to have one more thought suggested. It suggests our calling. There is an alternate translation of this verse that Matthew Henry brings out quite beautifully in his commentary, and that suggests another thought, that it's time for us to work. But we'll come to that as we look at these three thoughts briefly with you. So a petition for our country, for our church. It's time for thee to work, for they've made void thy law. What's that mean, made void? The word means cancel, deny the authority of it. The word means to dishonor, or making void is picking and choosing what you like and don't like, what fits your mindset and what don't fit your mindset. That's already making void the law of God. We've done that ever since Adam's rebellion in paradise. And ever since that time, history is displaying time and time again that nations and people and churches are making void the unchanging law of God. It's a story of mankind. There are times in history where you see an outward abiding to the law of God. We may still see much of that. There are times in our nation too, when you know that better, who are older here in our midst, when God's law was generally still quite respected, even by unchurched people. Today that's different. God's law is made void, even more and more so in open and bold ways. There have been times in our nation where the Spirit of God was moving churches in amazing ways, reviving, convicting communities, where you would walk through the streets and you would hear the singing of the psalms out of the houses. We don't witness that today. Nowhere in the United States do I know of any revival going on at the moment in which the Spirit of God is evidently blessing and working in this nation, to move hearts and to fill churches with the Spirit of God. We're not witnessing that today. Where do we see people of God trembling under the word of God? Not even our president. Not even anyone that leads in government officials. Trembling about the authority that had been vested in them to execute judgment on behalf of the judge of heaven and earth. That's a mighty responsible place to be. Only 9% of the United States citizens read their Bible daily. You say, well, that's still 9%. 78% still call themselves Christians. Only 9% read the Bible daily. There's a lot of show in this nation. We used to say when we were in the United States, the religion is a mile wide and an inch deep, shallow. Lots of show. And we need to acknowledge that it is true. We have a lot of religion, open and public yet, but it is very, very shallow. More and more, the churches are sidelined and silenced, or silent and fearful. And in many ways, the church in this nation is the biggest problem. The Christian church is dark. And then you can't blame the world for being dark, because they have no light. And where the testimony of the Christian has died down, the world will become darker and darker. And that's for us also why we come to this third thought in a moment, that it's time for thee to work. So who is making void God's law? I think we already can conclude this evening that we don't have to start with the world. Obviously they're making void God's law. They got no life. They got no respect. They have nothing to do with God and with His laws. But the real problem of our nation is with those who are called Christians. Are we sure we aren't making void God's laws? We're all against abortion, aren't we? But what have you done about it? Other than offer here and there prayer and perhaps donate to Right for Life. We're all against the sins that there are in this nation. We want justice. We want uprightness. We want to see Christianity return to what it needs to be. But what have you done? I done. It's time for thee to work, O God, for they have made void thy law. You know, the law of God is to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. Are we loving Him? Are we loving our neighbors? All our neighbors. Not just the one that we are related to. That's how the publicans love, Jesus says. That's no different than what the world loves. They love their own. They like their own. They do everything for their own. But that's not Christianity. That goes lots farther. So congregation, we need to ask ourselves and place our own heart before this word. Are we making void the law of God? Yeah? Haggai, the prophecy, I won't read it to you, but I'll just quote it to you. God is sending Haggai to the people of Israel, I think about 30 years or so after the Babylonian captivity has returned. And Haggai, I have to say to the people, is it time for you to work on your sealed houses, to work on your projects, to work on your businesses, while my house lies waste? And what's happening there? There's a foundation laid. There's an altar standing on a bare, naked foundation. And that's it. They're satisfied with that. As if that's enough for the temple of God. And God sends Haggai and says, is it time for you to work on your sealed houses? And my house lies waste. Now let's take that to heart. God's house in this country lies waste. A Christian church in this country lies waste. And yet we spend our time on all our things. Oh yeah, we have to do our work. We have to provide for families. I realize all that. That is normal. That's expected from us.
Where's our priority? You're my priority. It's time for thee to work, Lord. I've made void thy law. No need for me to say more about the world, about the unsaved, about the unchurched. Family life is destroyed. My young son is going to a public school in Oakfield. There's 20 kids in that classroom. But only three of these children, including David, that have mom and dad at home yet, together, out of a class of 20. This world is falling up. This nation is being broken down from its foundations, the family unit. And what's going to happen in 10, 20 years when these young kids that come out of these broken, confused, this homes that are no homes, and they're going to lead us? Satan knows how to destroy the nation. You begin to work on the foundation of the family life. And once children's minds are enslaved, and when their little hearts are broken, and the beast of misinformation is stamping through their minds, then it is no difficulty to advance his kingdom more and more. It's time for thee to work, O God. They've made void thy law. Drugs and alcohol and gaming and materialism and luxury and self-focus aren't symptoms of our problem. They are the sins of our nation. So therefore, this psalm and this petition is very current, isn't it? Very relevant today. They have made void thy law. In congregation, this prayer night means nothing to God. If this is not coupled with much more, are we those that sigh and cry in private about the abominations that are done in our nation? You know the Psalm 119 verse 136, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. The level of love this poet had for God, for his honor, and for his law. He says, rivers of water run down mine eyes. Not because I didn't keep the law, because they do not keep thy law. He so loves the Lord. He can't have a dry eye when he sees all around him terrible decay, dishonor. And when I then read a text like that, and I feel pretty poor, then there's a lot of formality. And that's not what we need today. So therefore, what is our remedy? It is what the poet says. It is time for thee to work, Lord. That's not an impolite statement. That is a cry out of the heart of this poet, this prayer man, that God would arise to work. Nothing that we can do will change the picture. Only when God will arise to work. It is time for thee to work, O Lord. Notice what name the poet uses. He doesn't talk here about God, the Elohim, the Almighty. He uses the word Lord, capital letters, Jehovah. He's appealing to the sovereignty of God's grace. The name that God reveals himself most vividly as the gracious God, that's the one he appeals to. He says, Lord, Jehovah, it is time for thee to work, O Lord. And he knows what he does. He commits the whole matter into God's hand without details. He didn't ask what the Lord has to do. He probably doesn't know. Well, what does our country need? Someone said to me the other day, this country needs a real war again. I don't think we need to ask for that. For a real war doesn't really cure anything. Yeah, it brings multitudes of people into the church again for a little while, like it happened after 9/11, and nothing changed in the heart. So instead of us asking, Lord, it is time for thee to do this or to do that, he just simply asked, Lord, it's time for thee to work. No details. Time that thou, O God, will do something to turn us around. Do something, O God, to stem this direction. Do something to stop this flood of evil that takes us all downstream. Time for thee to work. What a fitting supplication. Lord, it is time for thee to work. Please do whatever is necessary to stir our hearts, to rake our hearts, to break us from the idolatry, to break us from this materialism, to make us cry and sigh for the abominations that are done in this nation, from the highest level to the lowest. No branch of government is exempt here, and no citizen of our country is exempt. So therefore, friends, is this petition ours already? We can talk about decay. We can complain about it. We can talk about the deadness. We can say it's so dark. Are we talking? Or are we praying? Are we complaining or are we weeping? Are we fasting? As we pray at Christ's feet that he would work again in our country, in our people, begging him to come down, to rend the heavens, to stir the hearts, to lift us up, make us turn back to him. That's what we need to pray for. It's time for thee to work, O God. The most distressful sign of our days, congregation, is the lack of the burden about the needs of our nation. There's a casual attitude, and that is so grievous. Because there are so many promises in the scripture yet, even for our days. But Isaiah, I noticed this week as I was reading that chapter in Isaiah 63, where he says, Lord, there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Just picture that. Take hold of thee. I'm thinking of Jacob. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me, Lord. Take hold of him. Wrestling. Where are we today? And where is that wrestling church today? Now that is what we having a need for. It is time for thee to work, O God. Now, my third thought is briefly on this. Matthew Henry suggested that this text can be also translated differently. You notice if you look in your Bible, it is and thee are in italics. That means it's not in the Hebrew. So our translators have translated as it is time for thee to work. Matthew Henry suggests another translation could be it is time to work for thee, O Lord, for I have made void thy law. It's time for us to work, O Lord, because they've made void thy law. And so he meditates on this verse in that direction. It's time for us to get serious in our wrestling for the honor of God's kingdom. Congregation, we cannot allow the immorality to go on without us Christians to raise the alarm. We cannot be lethargic. We cannot be disinterested. This is about God's glory. This is about God's kingdom. This is about God's church. This is about God's cause. We cannot just be lethargic and disinterested. That's why I read Daniel 9 tonight. 70 years have passed. And then you look in that inner room of this man of God. And I not going to meditate on that chapter this night, but if you read that prayer, you think you are listening to a man who has erred from God's ways in so many ways. We know that in the constellation of God's saints, Daniel shines, outshines many others. And yet he's a sinner. We and our fathers, we have sinned. We have departed. It's time for us to come to God. It's time for God's church to awaken from sleep. Penas. We allow ourselves to be drugged by our prosperity. It is like Donald Trump said in this letter. There are thousands of Christians around the world suffering for their faith. And because it's so far from our doors, so far, and because we still have the liberty that we have today, it doesn't really touch us. And we can be lethargic. While undercurrents of the opposition against Christianity is growing at an alarming rate. Our nation is more divided today than it's ever been. More divided when it comes to liberalism and conservatism than it's ever been. And do not think that agenda of the left side sits still. Now they have felt a defeat in their progress. They're working overtime. Overtime. And what happens to Christians? And what happens to us Christians? We sit back and think, well, we got our man in the White House now. We got not our man in the White House. We can be thankful for Donald Trump in the White House. But that is not going to cure anything of this nation. Let not ourselves be lured to sleep, thinking now all things will go well. The forces of darkness in this nation have only been stirred more in the last months than ever before. And therefore, congregation, it's time for God to work. And it's time for us to work. To work on our knees. To work indeed in prayer. Because that is the most important work, isn't it? Where and what is this work for us? It's prayer for prayer. It is prayer, prayer. It's quite empty tonight. Do you notice that? And I'm thankful that you are all here tonight. But there's many of our church that couldn't make it tonight. Let's assume that. Or that didn't make it because they have other priorities. But usually when we have a prayer meeting, the picking is very thin. For nearly a year, every Sunday morning, about 5 of us are coming together to pray. But that's it. It's like one said, the handmaid of the Lord is dead. What's the handmaid of the Lord? It's the prayer meeting. My friend, we will not see a change in this church or anywhere when we not begin to pray and to beg and to cry to heaven that He would rend the heavens to come down with His Holy Spirit to stir the hearts of young and old, and to convict us, and to lay us low at His feet, convicted of our heart sin, broken and humble. Where are the prayers? Where are the wrestlers? Where are those? Now, that is for you and me to answer. That is the need of the church. And people came to Spurgeon's church. One man walked in one day. And he walked up to a man he didn't know and he says, "Friend, tell me, what is the secret of this church here in London where so many people are coming and are converted by the power of God? What is the secret of this church?" And the man said to him, "You come with me and I'll show you." He didn't know he was following Spurgeon at that moment. And Spurgeon took him downstairs to the basement of the church. And he says, look, behind this door is the powerhouse of this church. And he opened the door, and there are 300 men on their knees. Congregation, that is missing today. And therefore we are to pray. It is time for thee to work, O God. And what then? Oh, please begin to pour on us the true spirit of prayer. Prayer and supplication. That God would rend the heavens, beginning to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us and our children. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon our pulpits, upon God's people. And what an incredible encouragement do we have. Jesus' own words. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And listen, if a son asks for a bread, shall he that is a father give him a stone? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So why is that Holy Spirit then so absent so often in bringing new conversions and convictions in the hearts of sinners? Well, we could ask ourselves that. Perhaps the answer is, are we seeking, knocking, wrestling with God of heaven? Let's sing together. Psalter 2, 393. The real blessing of a nation is described there, isn't it, in a beautiful words. And 393, O happy land, whose sons in youth, in sturdy strength and noble truth, like plants in vigor spring. And what follows in 393, 1, 2, and 3.
And I'll lead you in a closing prayer, seeking the Lord indeed for this petition, that it is time for Him to work. So let us pray. O eternal and almighty King of kings, it is time for Thee to work. For we have made void Thy law. O God, we have done so, and we cannot undo it. We cannot return and restore and undo what we have begun in our deep fall already and what continues to echo forth throughout the lives of nations and people and churches. And therefore, Lord, we have come together tonight. And for Christ's sake, wilt Thou incline Thine ear to us, and wilt Thou hear us, for Thy covenant's sake, for Thy great name's sake. Remember Thou, O God, in mercy our nation, and return Thou us to Thy ways, and to Thy truths. We have forfeited every right to every single drop of rain and ray of sunshine and day of peace. As Lord, iniquities pile up heavenward and are indeed provoking Thee to a holy wrath to be poured out upon us. And Lord, perhaps Thou art doing that already. Oh, not a perhaps. Thou art doing that. And Thou art less and less speaking and letting us go more and more in the way of hardening and the way of evil. And therefore we beg Thee, O gracious God, to have mercy upon us and to reach forth Thy hand to bring a genuine returning to Thee. Oh, could it please Thee, God, to bless us once more with the outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit, to bring a greater awakening in this nation than it has ever been witnessed. Send us another Whitefield into our shores, O God, so baptized with Thy Holy Spirit that the preaching of His Word may so alarm the unsaved and may also awaken and stir Thy people from their sluggishness. O great God of heaven, return Thou unto us so that we may return to Thee. Shine forth Thy glory that will only arrest and convict and humble us and our fellow citizens. Reach forth Thy hand, O Almighty, and let it be felt in whichever way Thou art pleased to do so. Our eyes are unto Thee, Lord. Thou alone art able to turn stones into children of Abraham. Thou alone can open blind eyes and deaf ears. Thou alone can bring dead bones together to make them live and become as a body. O God, Thou alone can still the waves of all the evil powers that rise up against Thy church, who feels like that little boat in the waters of the Sea of Galilee. One word, and Thou causes the waves of opposition and the rage to be still. We beg Thee, Lord, to lay all such enemies as supplicants at Thy feet, and to cause all those who seek to lay their hands on Thy truth to experience Thy power, not that they will fall backwards, but that they may fall forwards, and may learn to adore Thee, respect Thee,
and obey Thee and worship Thee. Lord Jesus, Thou hast the keys of hell and death, which also means that Thou controls the extent of Satan's reach and influence and power within these borders of our nation and beyond. And perhaps, Lord, we may have to be prepared ourselves that maybe we are facing the time that Thou would loosen him for a season. And oh, fan Thy threshing floor to prepare Thy church for revival. That may indeed be what Thou art doing, but Lord, whatever it may be and needs to be, prepare our hearts. Oh, anchor us personally by that faith in that living Savior, Jesus Christ. We beg Thee, O God, to lift up Thy church within this nation and to revive Thy people and replenish Thy church with renewal and conviction. O Thou knowest what dry and waste places there are also within the churches and within our own denomination and with our own congregation, in our own family life and personal life. Waste places. Trodden down. O God, let the rivers out of Thy sanctuary also flow over these barren grounds to bring life and light. Raise up men among us like Daniel and Elijah, Elisha and Josiah and Ezra and Nehemiah, such to lead us in state and church. Raise up women, Lord, like Deborah and Hannah, like Aquilas and Phoebes in Rome, who serve Thy kingdom in their callings as the sisters of the church, as fellow laborers in whatever sphere Thou would use them. So will Thou graciously remember us, O God in heaven. In these days we lift up to Thee the nation, our government, our citizens. Our president has asked us to pray for him. And we beg Thee, Lord, that Thou protect our leaders, both physically, but also spiritually. That Thou would equip them with wisdom, with guidance, with strength, above all with integrity. O God, with honesty, that they may lead with biblical principled convictions, that they may be courageous and loyal, and that they may not be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, Thou knowest this incredible, powerful push in our nation to silence the mouth of Christians in the public square, as if faith is only a private thing and no more to be mentioned in the halls of our government, in the courtrooms of our nations. We beseech Thee, O God, that Thou wilt indeed lift up Thy Spirit against this flood of evil, and that Thou would restore this nation. Let our leaders, O God, be convinced personally that only Thy presence can bring the real change and can meet the deepest needs of our broken and drugged nation. Let them feel, Lord, that no program, no legislation, nothing will cure the broken heart and will change the brokenness of this country. But Christ alone, His Spirit, and His work in the heart of sinners. And to there too we pray, Lord, it is time for Thee to work, for they've made void Thy law. And pray that Thou would beg, that Thou would heal this sadly divided nation. Put a watch on the lips of our president, Lord, that he may be wise and restrained in his speech. That Thou would give him the grace and the wisdom when to speak and how to speak, when he needs to speak. And unite us all together to see the true greatness of this nation. And that is only in righteousness. For that exalts the nation. And that, we say, Lord, is so greatly missing. Hear us. Forsake us not. Remember us. in mercy. As we lay these petitions before thee, Lord, we must be deeply conscious. We have no rights. We have no worthiness. We all stand guilty. But for Christ's sake, will thou hear us and answer us. And Lord, and thou knowest the needs that we face as congregation, the ongoing needs of those that are sick in the hospital, Isaac, in weakness in body at home or in nursing homes, in the families individually, in everyone that is single or married. Thou knowest what needs we face, what needs we face as congregation, this community. Oh, make us truly a compelling church, O God, that the Word and the Spirit of God may be so abundantly living and flowing out of us, that we may compel others by the impelling of love to seek Thee and to be under the Word of God as it is preached here. So look upon us, O Lord, revive the churches in our own neighborhoods, in this township and community. There are plenty of churches. So many. And Lord, where is the Spirit and the power? Oh, we pray therefore. Visit us in grace. We ask thee to bless us as we go home again. Give us safety along the way. Bless also the men's members meeting that will take place shortly after this service. And give, Lord, that we may, as we need to make some decisions, perhaps, well, thou may help us to make those. In dependence upon thee. All this we seek of thee, O gracious God. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. Now our closing psalter is not a psalter actually tonight. Let us sing the national anthem, which is in the back of your psalter in the doxology section. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. So let's sing these three verses of the national song. It's in the back behind Psalter 448 in your Psalter book.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and let us go in peace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
No, there isn't. Absolutely.